Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Yud Ches. As you'll recall, yesterday we went through quite a lengthy discussion about the order of all of the brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. We started all the way from Yud Zayin Amud Beis, when right before the middle of the Amud, where the Gemara told us that Shimon HaPikuli was the one that was Mesader the Shemoneh Esrei brachos al HaSeder. He was the one that arranged for the order of the 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. Today we have 19, but we call it 18 because V'la Moshinim was only added a few hundred years later. Rabbi Yochanan, or the Braisa, said it was Me'a V'esrim Zekenim, 120 Zekenim, 120 elderly sages, U'behem Kama Nevi'im, and among them many prophets. They were the ones that were Mesakim Shemoneh Esrei brachas al HaSeder, meaning the arrangement that we have. Well, we start the Shemoneh Esrei, and we start off with Avos, and then Gvurois, and then Kedusha, until we end off Hamavorach Es Am Yisrael Bashalom. All of this is based on Psukim and the Drushes of Chazal that we learned yesterday. We are up to, we didn't want to stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, because then you wouldn't be able to talk the whole day. And so therefore, we finished the entire discussion of Shemoneh Esrei, and we got to the middle wide lines on Yud Ches Amid Aleph. And specifically, we got up to 2, 4, 6 line from the beginning of the middle wide lines. In other words, from the top of the Amid, roughly a third down the Amid. The line begins Hashem Yivorech Es Amo Vashalayim, and we're going to begin right after that. Freik Dimar Vachim Yachar Demei Avi Esrim Zekenim Umehem Kam On Neviim Taknu Tfila Al HaSeder Shimon HaPikuli My Hister. So the Gemara is asking a very straightforward question. As we said a moment ago, one Braisa said that Shimon HaPikuli was the one that was Mesader the Shemoneh Esrei, right? And then a moment later we brought another Braisa that there were 120 Zekenim, including Nevi'im, that were Mesakin the Shemoneh Esrei. So make up your minds. Who is the one that arranged it? Who gets pride and credit for authorship? Is it Shimon HaPikuli, or is it the Mayor of the Esrim Zekenim? And for the Gemara, really and truly, it was the May of the Esrim Zekenim. They're the ones that put it together. However, says the Gemara, Shokhum v'chozar v'sidrum. Over time, there was shikha, people forgot. Then after that, Shimon HaPikuli came back and he said, I will tell you the correct order. So, literally, the Gemara should be understood that, after all, they didn't have Sidurim, and that people learned the Shemoneh Esrei, but over time people forgot exactly what the order of the Shemoneh Esrei was, and some people started saying Rufa'enu before Goyel Yisrael, and other people started saying Shemea Tvila before V'lam Hashin Mal Tisikva, or whatever. In other words, they started saying it out of order, and Shimon HaPikuli came back and said, Abesa, you forgot, but this is the correct order. The Ben Yehoyada is not happy with that simple explanation. He says, because after all of us daven Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day, and we listen to the Baal Tefillah 2 times a day. Don't you think that people would have ingrained in their minds, even if they didn't have a sitter? But nevertheless, wouldn't people know how to daven Shemoneh Esrei from beginning to end without saying they all started fablunging? Fablunging means they all started erring and going astray, making boo-boos. Therefore, the Ben Yehoyada says is that until Shimon HaPikuli, they forgot the basis, the origin for this order. After all, we went through quite a few psukim and quite a few limudim to come up with the order that we went through in great detail yesterday. So, over the generations, people forgot the origins, they forgot the sources. Shimon HaPikuli is Nochemul Shokhem V'chos V'sidrum. He told the Rabbi Yisai, the reason for Avos is because Havel Hashem Bnei Eilim. And the reason for Gvuris is Havel Hashem Kavod V'ayis. And the reason for saying Geula B'Shvi'is is because Mashiach will come B'Shvi'is. And the reason why Refuah is B'Shmini'is is because the Bris Mila is on Shmini. And so on and so forth, as we had in the Gemara yesterday. Says the Gemara now, Nushtikum. Mikan ve'elach, after you finish Shemoneh Esrei, what happens if someone says, you know what, I am a great poet, and I'm going to come up with a beautiful new 20th bracha that I'm going to append to the Shemoneh Esrei. Mikan ve'elech asur lisabre b'shvacha shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now that's it. You of course can go and say as many kapitlach tilim as you want. Of course we say the Elokai Nitzor, which is at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, which is beyond the 18 or 19 brachas. But it's not a bracha. It doesn't start with a baruch and it doesn't end with a baruch. That's okay. But to go and add another bracha, that is also, you cannot go and add b'shvach shekodesh baruch. Why? The Amrav Loza, my chassid, it says in the pasuk, mi yemalel gevuras Hashem yashmiya kol tehilosai. What does that mean? Lemi no'a lemalel gevuras Hashem. For whom is it proper? Is it nice? Lemalel means to enunciate, to pronounce, to say the gvuras of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lemi sheyochel hashmiya kol tehilosai. A person who is able to go and be mashmiya all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. Is that possible? Says Rashi, v'ein mi sheyochel lesapris kulay. It's an impossibility. And so therefore, since no human being, no matter how great he is, he cannot go and possibly describe all of the tehillos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the praises that Hashem is deserving, so don't even try. Therefore, we just rely on what the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila and the Zakenim and the Nevi'im, what they were Mesada years ago, but we're now allowed to go and add our own additional brachas. If a person adds too much, he could be uprooted from the world. It says in the pasuk, "Hayisupar loy ki adaber im omar ish." If a person says, "I can go and be mesaper and add on and expand and expound on the praises of Kodesh Baruch Hu," is chashe sholem ki yevula. Ki yevula means he might be swallowed up. Torah of Yehuda ish kfar gevurai v'amrilo ish kfar gibor chayil. Might chesed and says in the pasuk, "Lecha dumia sehila." Lecha means to you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dumia, the word dumia means silence, like we find by Aharon after Nodav Avihu passed away. It says vayidoim Aharon. Aharon was quiet. So the word dumia means silence. Tehila, that's the best praise. Being quiet in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the way to praise Him. Don't try to ad-lib and add your own praises. You're not going to get anywhere. And now the Gemara goes one step further. It says, Gemara Sama Tekula Mishtoika. The best remedy, the best medicine for everything is Mishtika, is silence. Kiyosodimi Omer Amim Rarova. In Eretz Yisrael, they have an expression, Mila Besela. If somebody wants you to go and sell a Mila, a Vart, a word besela for one sela, mishtuka betrayin, shtika is worth double. The people, there's an expression in Yiddish, you have a person who gets up and gives a beautiful, beautiful drusha, and they say, yo, et git gedarshint, abet zinish darshinent kimtis nisht, means he gave a wonderful speech, but to not speaking, it doesn't even approach that level. So the best is, keep silence is the best.
Work a rabbi.
Who said that? Okay.
Well, he didn't speak hardly anything.
Okay.
What about that sentence, Shtika Kehodia Damya?
Shtika Haido. Shtika Kehodia is referring to when you have two litigants in a courtroom, and one says, you know, you borrowed from me $500 and you never returned it. What would you expect the other person to do? If it's not true, he would deny it.
Right.
He would say, what are you talking about? $500? What happens if he's quiet? It sounds like Shtika Haido, that he's agreeing with that individual. Otherwise, he should protest. But we're not talking about such a situation.
Right.
We're talking about here about going and just talking generally. Whatever you don't say, you never regret. I remember when I was a bucher and I went on a bishol. Bishol means to meet with a young lady for a shidduch. My father's chanavrucha gave me sage advice. V'zvayni gereden is besser. The less that you speak is better. Okay. The more that you speak, you start talking.
You went on a
bishol. Bishol means on a date.
Bishol.
That's a Yiddish term. Bishol means to meet with a young lady for possible purposes of future matrimony.
Bishol.
A bishol. No L at the end. Bishol.
It's like going to a Broadway show.
Like, more or less, yeah. Koral Pele Yotze. Okay, the more continues on. Koral Pele Yotze, we go back to our Mishnah of yesterday. And what did it say in the Mishnah? That if you go and read the Megillah without looking into the Megillah, but you go and say it Baal Peh, even if you know it perfectly, Vayhi B'mei HaShverosh until the very end, You're not yoitza. How do you know? Amar of Asya zechira zechira. We have a gzeira shava zechira zechira. Ksivach of ayomim or eila niskarim benasim. And the Gemara assumes that niskarim means kriya. How do you remember these days? By reading it. Uksiv Hasim, and it says by Melchemes Amulek, Ksoiv Zois Zikurin Vaseif, Vesim Beozni Yeshua, Kemochai Emche Zeichel Amulek Mitachas Hashemoyim Loitishkach. So there it says also the same word, Zikoroi. Here it says, Vayomim Wa'ila Nizkorim Vinasim, Zikorin. There it says, Ksoiv Zois Zikorin. What do you write the Zikorin? Vaseifer! Malalon Vaseifer, just like the Zikorin of the Mechia Samolik, you write in a sefer, and we read from a sefer, and this is the basis of our reading annually from the Parsha Zuchar, always before Purim. Of course, you read it from a sefer, Malon the sefer, Afkan ba sefer. Here too, when you're doing the zechira of the Nes of Mordechai the Esther, you read it from a sefer and not palpeh. When it says in the pasuk, who says that you have to have a balkore who has to lay it out loud? Maybe it means you open up a sefer Torah. It's got to be basefer. I agree with you, but you take a sefer Torah and you look at it and you say the words to yourself or in a whisper. Who says that there has to be a balkore and everybody has to go and listen? Maybe in the Bible you look in it and you read the words with your eyes and you go through it. Who says there's a din of kriya? Why? Here it says Dechsiv, on the side it says Desanya. We have another brisa. It says in the pasuk, Zochor Eisa Sher Osalcha Amalek Yochel Balev. Zochor means to remember. So I would think remember means just put it back into your memory bank and think about it from time to time and think and think and think. But that's it. But Balev, you think about it. Kishoyim, but it says the end of the parsha of Parsha Zohar. Loi tishkach. Loi tishkach. Harshichas leiv omer. So doesn't that mean not forgetting means to remember? They're just the two sides of the coin. This side of the coin says remember. The other side says don't forget. So mani mekayim zohar. So why does the Torah say zohar to remember? If I don't forget, of course I remember. So the word bepeh comes to tell you it's not enough just to go and think about it and to have a yom iyun about it. You got to go and read it from the sefer Torah. Just like by Parsha Zohar we read it zikorim b'sefer. Here too we read the Megillah from a sefer, from a klav. If you do it balpeh, lo yata.
Does the whole Zohar, does it have different implications, whether it's Zohar, Yitzias, Asraim, Zohar, Yom HaShav, Zakacho, are there different elements to Zohar?
At the end of Shachris, in many of the Sidurim, they list all the Sheish Zechirais. One of them is the Zechira of what Amalek did to us, and our prayer for the immediate, or at least the subsequent, Mechias Amalek. The other zechirais that you're talking about are also listed in the Siddur. Each one of them is an independent mitzvah. Just like eating matzah on Seder night is a mitzvah, and putting tefillin on every day is a mitzvah. But if you keep on putting tefillin every single day, and you don't eat matzah on Seder night, you're not mekayim that mitzvah, because it's a separate mitzvah. If you eat the matzah on Seder night, but you don't wear your tefillin, I'm not talking about a yontif, during the year, you're not yoytze the mitzvah. Here too, this is one schira, and that's another schira. The schira that you're talking about, Yitzis Mitzrayim, that's what we have on Seder night. The schira of Amulek, that's right, before Purim. And the other schiras, Zuchas Yom HaShabbos Takadshai, we have every Shabbos. Each one of these are an independent mitzvah of schira. Kore Targum LeYotze. It says in our Mishnah that if you read the Megillah Targum in another language, in English, in French, whatever, LeYotze Yinat Yotze. Fekimur Hechidami. Ilema diksiva mikra v'karilot targum. Are we talking about that you're reading from a regular Megillah, where it starts with Vehi b'mei achashverosh, but since you don't know Hebrew or your audience doesn't know Hebrew, so you look into the Megillah and you start learning. And it was in the days of Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? He is Achashverosh. If that's what we're talking about, Hainu Alpeh. If the Megillah is written in Hebrew and you're reading it in English, obviously that's Valpeh, because it doesn't say the English inside your Megillah. Oh, we're talking about a Megillah that was written, for instance, on parchment with a beautiful ksav, but it was written in English in a marshal, and you read it in English, so it's not Valpeh, you're reading it from the Megillah itself. But you're not yoitzer because it has to be like the Mishnah said, Bashuris ubijoy, and on a sefer means on klaf ubijoy. So you're not yoitzer, even if it's written in English on a klaf, and you read it in English, no good. But the Mishnah said, but you can go and read it liliazis. Liazis means any strangers that don't know Lashon HaKodesh, you could go and read for them in their mother tongue. So for the French, you could read it in French, and for the English, in English, and so on and so forth. For Eitimara, isn't this a stira? For Amrish, just a moment ago, you said, Karabach HaLashon Lo Yadza. When we learned this in the Mishnah yesterday, Rashi already pointed it out, and we shared this with the Olam, that within the same breath, the same line, the Mishnah says, if you read it Targum, another Sprach, that's in the Gemara, and the Mishnah didn't just say Targum, it's called Targum the Haloshim. If you go back to yesterday's Omer Aleph and Yedzayin Omer Aleph, and you look in the Mishnah, on the second and third line of the Mishnah, Korah Targum B'chol Lashon, not just Aramaic, in any Sprach, any language, Lo Yotza. But Avo, but you can, Koyin Oysaliyazi B'lav, that's okay, you can go and read it for the Frenchman in French. Didn't you just simply say, B'chol Lashon Lo Yotza? And it's not my kasha. You see the first wide line of Rashi all the way down below. Or the common parach in the middle of the line says Rashi. Later we're going to ask. And here you're telling me, so this is now that Gemara asking, what's going on? Are you yoitze in a foreign language? Are you not yoitze in a foreign language? Make up your mind. When it says in the Mishnah that Liazis, Belaz, Yoyotze, we're not talking about French, we're not talking about English, we're talking strictly about Yevoni, which means Greek. If you learn it in Greek, now for me and for you, I shouldn't speak for you, but for me, if someone would learn it in Greek, I would say it's Greek to me. But that's not what the Mishnah means when it says that you're reading it in Greek for Greek people. We're talking about people that actually understand Greek. If the person writes a Megillah, well, we'll talk about in a moment how it's written, but assuming that the writing is not an issue, the person's reading in Greek for Greek speakers, then you're Yoitza. Why is Greek any different? So you remember we had a few days ago in the Gemara, because it says, Yaft Elikim Liyefes V'yishkin Ba'ol Leishayim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that Yovan Yevonis is such a beautiful sprach, such a beautiful language, that you could be yoitzer even kriya satoira when you have yevonis. So our Gemara is saying the same thing. That's what it means in our Mishnah. It doesn't mean liliyaz belaz, any foreign language. We're talking only about Greek to the Greek speakers. Frank Gemara, hey chidami, what are you talking about? Ilein dechsevashuris bekarla yevonis. Same kash as Gemara asked before. Is the Megillah written in beautiful Lashon Kodesh with beautiful Hebrew font, like you'd find it in a beautiful Sefer Torah? And the reader, the Baal Koreh, is reading it in Greek. Obviously, if the whole Megillah is written in Hebrew, and if he is saying it in Greek, then that's Baal Peh, because it doesn't say Greek inside. We already said in our Mishnah that Korah Baal Peh, he's not Yotze. And you're telling me Korah L'Liyazis Belaz is Yotze. So that can't be. Omrib Acha, Omrib Luzer. Sheksuva Belaz Yevonis. It's talking about that you wrote out a beautiful Megillah, but not with Hebrew font, with Hebrew characters, but rather was written in Greek on a beautiful cloth, and they read it in Greek for Greek speakers. Then that's what our Mishnah says is the exception to the rule that you're Yoitza. Now we're going to go off on a tangent for a short moment, because the memory that we just quoted was from Omrib Acha, Omrib Loza. And now the Gemara brings an unrelated memra from the same mandiyama, the Omer of Acha Omer of Lazar, Minayin Shekara Kodesh Baruch Hu LeYaakov Kehel. How do we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov the very, very distinguished and exalted name, Kehel? And as we know, normally when we think of the word Kehel, we think of it as Hashem Hashem Kehel Racha B'chanan. It's the name of a Kodesh Baruch. But the word Kehel also literally means the mighty ones. The Gemara, in the Tanakh, you have psukim like Eile Tzoincha. Eil means very, very mighty. And so therefore, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is calling to Yaakov Kel. Where do we find that? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Yikra Loi Kel Elikei Yisrael. Now, the Gemara only brings the second half of the Pasuk. The first half of the Pasuk is, Vayatsev Shom Yaakov Matseva, that Yaakov Avinu made an altar, he made a mizbeach, and Beyikoloi, the Poshib shot in the Pasuk is that Yaakov called that mizbeach Kel Elikei Yisrael. Now the Gemara says that sounds very, very strange. You go and build the mizbeach and you call it Kel Elikei Yisrael. It almost sounds like you are making the mizbeach itself into a god, Chas V'Shalom, and therefore it's almost like Avodah Zarah. So how could that be? And therefore our Gemara is saying, no, that's not pshat. The Yaakovina Meitaka a mizbeach v'yikroloi, and he called him Kel. Now you're wondering, who is the one that called him Kel? It was Elokei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him, being Yaakov Avinu, he called him Kel. So you want Isol Kadaitach leMizbeach Karolei Yaakov Kel, that Yaakov called the Mizbeach Kel. VeYikroloi Yaakov Yiboylei. Why did it say VeYikroloi? It should say VeYikroloi Yaakov. Ella, what's pshat? VeYikroloi Li Yaakov Kel. That Yaakov, after he built that Mizbeach, he got the name Kel. Nu Mikarev, who's the one that called him Kel? Elokei Yisrael, the Rabbi Yisrael called him Kel to show how exalted Yaakov Avinu was. He was a Bechira Ovois. Therefore, he's saying you are real mighty in your spirituality, in your Rachmis. So, bottom line is getting back to, we just got off on a tangent because Rav Acha ben Blazer, but let's go back. Rav Acha ben Blazer said, Ksuva Belaz Yavanis. And Rabbi Shmuel said, Pshat in our Mishnah. Normally, if it's written in Targum Lashon, and you, Targum means any language, not only Aramaic, in English Le Marshal, or in French Le Marshal, if you go and write a Megillah like that, and then you read it, Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze. But if it's written in Greek, say Rav and Shmuel, then you're Yotze. And that's shot in the Mishnah. Korin Le Loyazis Belaz, if you're reading in Athens, in front of a Greek audience, and you're reading it in Greek from parchment written with Greek letters in the Gan Samaza, then you are Yaitz. Great Timora, is that Taka the Pshat in the Mishnah? Meisve. Kora Giftis, Ivris, Ilmis, Modis, or Yevonis, Lo Yatsa. If you read any one of these languages, the Giftis language, I don't know what the Giftis language is, but apparently it's for gifted people, and that's why it was called Giftis. Or Ivris, of people from the Eivor HaNohar, or Ilmis, we had earlier that Shushan was in Elam, and so Elam was the name of a place, and apparently they had their own dialect and their own language. Normally they spoke Persian. I'm sorry? Okay. Okay, so that's the Kasha Limar. So thank you for helping us. So the modus, of course, is Chel Poras Umodai. And now we get to Yevonis. Oh, so it says that if you read in Yevonis in Greek, La Yotze. And Rav and Shmuel said, Pshat in the Misha is that Yevonis you are Yotze. So what's going on? Says Yimar, it's a good Kasha. Holy Damia, Eloha. Our Mishnah, don't compare it to the Brisa which we just read that says Yevonis Lo Yotze, but rather compare it to another Brisa, where the other Brisa says, Giftis le Giftim, Ivris le Ivrim, Ilmis le Ilmim, Yevonis le Yevonim is Yotze. Ah, so that Brisa says, when did we say that Giftis, Ivris, Ilmis, Ilmim, Lo Yotze, if you're giving it to the wrong audience? If you're laying Giftis in front of people that are not that gifted and don't know the Giftis language, or if you're laying Yevonis in front of Frenchmen, all of whom happen to be brilliant scholars with IQs of over 200, but they don't know Greek. In fact, when you lay Greek to them, they say, it sounds Greek to me, because they don't know Greek. So, in that case, Lo Yotze. But if you go and lay Giftis to the Giftim and Ivris to the Ivrim, oh, that's a different story. And Yevonis to Yevonim, that's all of those cases are Yotze.
This is a limited scope of the alternate languages that are permissible?
So that's what we're saying, according to the Gemara at this point, when it's said in our Mishnah that if you read the Megillah in other languages, you're not Yotze, that's when you're reading it for an audience that doesn't understand that language. However, if you read it in a foreign language, for foreigners that do understand that language, then you are Yotze. So that's the terrors that the Gemara is giving at this point. If you read in English, in Eretz Yisrael, in Meir Sha'arim, where nobody speaks English over there, they only speak a little bit of Ivrit, but mostly Yiddish, and you go and say it in English, You're not Yotze. They're not Yotze. You're not Yotze. So however, if you go there to Or Sameach or Eisha Torah in Yerushalayim, where all of them are Bali Tshuva, and 99% of them speak English, and you say it in English, then you're Yotze. That's what our Gemara is saying at this point. Is it good? Frank Gemara, if that's the case, Yehachi Rabbi Shmuel Amai Mukmila. Why did they say that the Mishnah is talking about Balaz Yabonis? Like the B'cholaz. A minute ago, we said that we have a steer in our Mishnah that says you can't lane it Betargum, but you can go and lane it in Liazis Lelaz. So Rabbi Shmuel said, it's so much special. Greek is special, special. It's not special. Based on what we're just saying now, Amai Mukmislola Masisa Balaz Yabonis. Like the B'cholaz. Let us say Pshat in the Mishnah is like we just said until now. That when does it say in the Mishnah that you're not Yoitza? When the people don't speak the language. When are you Yoitza? When the people do speak the language. And in fact, that's the mashmois of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says if you're reading, you're speaking and reading to foreigners that don't understand Hebrew, and you're reading it to them in their mother tongue, in their laws, you're Yoitza. And that's what it says in this Braisa. Gift is to gift them, and Ivris to Ivrim, etc. So why do they say it's talking about the Lashon Yevani? Says the truth of the matter is, Rav and Shmuel are not talking about our Mishnah. The Pshat in the Mishnah is like the Braisa, that if you're reading it in English for a Yiddish speaking audience, you're not Yoitza. But if you read it in Yiddish for a Yiddish speaking audience, you would be Yoitza. So if that's the Pshat, so what did Rav and Shmuel say in Greek? They're talking about generally elsewhere. Where's a general elsewhere? Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, Laz Yevani, Lakoil Kosher. Laz Yevani is good for everybody. That means that although if you read it in French for an English speaking audience, or in Spanish for a French speaking audience where nobody understands what you're talking about, then you're not Yotze. However, if you read it in Greek, Lakoil, for everybody, even those that don't understand the word of Greek, you are Yotze. That's what Rav and Shmuel, that's not Pshat in our Mishnah, that's just stump. They're telling you that Greek is special in that respect. By the way, it's not only Greek. As the Mishnah said, and as the Gemara is going to quote in a moment, the same thing applies to Lahavdil Hebrew, to Lashon HaKodesh. You have people that don't understand Lashon HaKodesh, and they're listening to the whole Megillah quietly. Did you understand the word? No. Okay. They're Yoitza.
That's Kik Solomon, no?
Yeah, that's true. That's what the Gemara is going to go and say. What Rav and Shmuel be Machadish is not only in Hebrew and Lashon HaKodesh, but the same thing also applies if it's in Greek, even though they don't understand the word.
Obvious question, why Greek is opposed to other languages?
So before you arrived on the scene, we said that, Gemara said earlier about 10 blad ago, because it says in the Pasuk, Yaf Elikim Liyafes, Yishkin Baal Yishayim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yafusoi Shel Yafes, the beauty of the language of Yafes, and that's specifically the language of Greek. It's such a beautiful language. I don't know in which respect it's beautiful, but the Gemara attests to the fact that it's a beautiful language. Therefore, that said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yishkin Baal Yishayim, that can be used in Ali Shem. Shem is referring to the Semites, referring to Yin, that we can go and be Mishtamish in Greek. And I'm sure somebody has a comment, to probably Shelley, because I heard some. Yes, Shelley, what would you like to share with us?
Although it's all Greek to me.
Yes, of course.
It seems that Greek has gotten a pass in the written Torah, and now Greek gets a Megillah.
Aha. Exactly. So we're extending what we were saying about the Torah now to Megillah. That's exactly right. Shkoyach.
It seems that they were afraid of the Greeks.
They were afraid of the Greeks. Well, it's not only to do with fear, it has to do with the Pasuk. There's a separate limud that we had about the fact that they did the Septuagint. The Septuagint was in Targum HaShivim. But if, for those of you that don't, are wondering, well, what are we talking about? If you go back to the Mishnah on Ches on the day, Ches on the day, the Mishnah said towards the bottom of the Yom. That was one of the Ein Beins.
Yeah, yeah.
Ein Bein Svarim L'Tfilin Mezuzois. What's the difference between a Sefer Torah or Nach and Tfilin Mezuzois? She Svar Nechtav in Bechol Lashon. You could write a Sefer Torah in any language. Tfilin Mezuzois in Nechtav in Salashur. It's got to be Dafke in Hebrew in Lashon Kodesh. Reb Shem Gamliel Oymer. Af Bisvarim L'Yitir Shiyechtav El Yevonis. by Sefer Torah. You can't write a Sefer Torah in French or in English, b'chol lashon. Only in Greek. What's so special about Greek? The Gemara said on Tes Amid Beis. What's the reason why my taima on Makra, about 10 lines from the top, Yaft elikim li yefes v'yishkin ba'ol eishayim dvarav shal yefes, the words, the language of yefes, yiyu ba'ol eishayim. What is that referring to? It's referring to Lashon Yevonis, because that is the Yafifutzai, that's the beauty, right before the Mishnah on Tes Amud Beis. So Greek is very special, and the Mishnah already said, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, you could write Sifrei Torah in Hebrew, you can write Sifrei Torah in Greek, but not in English, and not in French, and not any other
language.
You know why Rashi says that? Because Rashi is just interpreting the Lashon HaGemara, right before the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Eima Goimru Mogoid, three lines before the Mishnah. Maybe we're talking about Yefes after all, had a few kids. It wasn't just Yavin. No. Maybe it's Goimru Mogoid. Amr Chiv Rabba Hain Taima, Dechsev Yafta Lekim Li Yefes, Yafyefusai, Yafyusai Shal Yefes. The beauty of Yefes, Yehei Baal Hashem. So what is the beauty? Says Rashi, that's a Lashon Yevoni, which is a very, very beautiful Sprach, a beautiful language.
All the others are better,
more than Goimru Mogoid and all the other Goyim, all the other children of Yefes. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so until now, as Shelby pointed out so correctly, we only made this special exception for Sifrei Torah, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, and now Rav Shmuel are extending this also to the Megillah, that if you read the Megillah, the Laz Yevani, Lakoil, for everybody, even for people that don't understand Greek. Shelley is a person who is very, with great humility and modesty, he has told us that it's all Greek to him. Of course, he understands many, many, many languages. But nevertheless, our Gemara says, everybody is Yoytzu with Laz Yevani. I, Freyti Gemara, Voktani, didn't it say in the Braisa a moment ago that gift is le giftim and ivris le ivrim and yevonis le yevonim? It sounds like Greek is only good for Greek speakers and not someone who does not speak Greek. In the Kuli Alma Loi, and Gemara Inu Di Omer K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. These Rav and Shmuel hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel did not. And now the Gemara is quoting from that Mishnah on Daf Ches Amid Beis that we just looked up. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oyim Aslam Litiyo Yeshichtu Ela Yevonis, and therefore they are following the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah, when it says Yevonis Liyevonim, holds that Greek is nothing special. It's like all other languages. That English for English yoytza, French for French yoytza, Greek for Greek yoytza. But Greek for Frenchmen or Greek for Englishmen, you're not yoytza. Rav and Shmuel said, we learn like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Yevonis Greek is on its own, it's special, it's unique because of Yafta Kimliyas. Frank Gemara, if the whole halacha of Rav and Shmuel is based on Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'leim halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, instead of making a new halacha, Amri Tavayi, Blaz Yevani, why don't they say Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel? And therefore this applies both to Sifrei Torah and to Megillas. I might have thought, well, only talking about the rest of Tanakh, with the exception of Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther is an exception to the rule, and even Rav Shimon Gamliel might hold that if it's in Greek, you're not Yoytze. Why would I think Megillah is different? Because by Megillah it says, Tichsiv ba kichsava mechizmanam. Kichsava, it's got to be like their ksav. Vela Yehudim kichsava mechizmanam. So what means, El Yehudim kichsava, with their ksav. So if you're going to go and put a Megillah for Jews, for Yehudim, with a ksav of somebody else, whether it happens to be Greek or any other language, I would think, Ey Malor, you're not Yoytze. Kamash Malon, that's why Rav Shmuel had to say that the halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't only apply by Shar Sifrei Tanakh, but also applies to Megillas Esther. So, Kumar Rabbi, Valuya Shishoma Ashuris Yotze. In our Mishnah it says that a foreigner who does not speak Lashon HaKodesh, but he heard the Megillah in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is Yotze. He doesn't understand what's going on. Why is he yoytzer? After what means they have a noshim the ami aret. It's similar to the case of noshim of women and amaratzim. The reason why the Gemara says noshim is because in the good old days women didn't go to Beis Yaakov, they didn't go to school, and therefore they had no knowledge of Lashon Kodesh. So therefore, for them too, this Megillah reading, they didn't understand what was going on, but, you know, they listened and they shuckled and it was all wonderful, but they didn't understand. Or Amoratzim, people that are illiterate, they don't understand. But if they go and hear the Megillah, of course, they're Yoitzer. So just like they're Yoitzer, same thing applies to the Le'azos that don't understand. They're no better, no worse than Noshim or Amyarts. Masle Ravina, Otu Anan, or Achashtaronim, B'nei HaRamocha, Mi'adinan. So he's trying to bring a raya and saying, why are you picking on the ladies in Amaratzim? Even we! It says in the Megillah that they went and had the Achashtaronim Be'er Ramachim. Who are these guys? I have no idea. What does that mean? El mitzvah screen for Yisum and Nisa. There's a mitzvah to go and lay in it and be Mepharis and Nenes and Morcha de Esther. Whether or not you understand each and every word, that's not the important thing. The important thing is to get together in the shuls and the Bati Midrashim and read about the Megillah, and people should bang on Haman and people should know, oh, there's a grace in this that happened many years ago in Shushan Abir. It's all Hanami, the same thing about Mrs. Krips. So even if you don't understand, but you know that it's Purim and you're reading a Purim, you're Yoitzer. It says right in the Mishnah, Karla Sirugin. If you read the Megillah, Sirugin, you're Yoitzer. Now what means Sirugin? As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, Sirugin means with pauses, with breaks. Most places they lay in the Megillah takes 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever, depending on the shul, but it takes a normal period of time. What happens if a person lays the first parak of Megillah, and he says, Rabbi Yisrael, we're taking now a break. He doesn't say anything, no hafsaka, no help. But what, the next half an hour, he goes and drinks coffee, and he goes and studies the daf. Okay, let's get back. Second parak. And then after that, he takes another break for half an hour, whatever. So sirugin means piecemeal. Says the Mishnah, Yotze. It doesn't have to be all together at once. You can go and split it up. So Timur, Lehavi Radonin, Lehavi Yadi Rabbanin, my Sirugin. When they got to the word Sirugin, the Mishnah, that was a very strange term because you don't find that throughout Shas on a daily basis. So they didn't know what the Sirugin means. Shemul Le'amsid V'Rabi, and the Gemara brings this next 5 to 10 lines that we're going to learn now. We had this not too long ago at the end of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, where the Amsa de Rebbe, Amsa means the deeds, that means the Ozeret, the housekeeper for Rebbe, as the Gemara quotes her in other places as being very smart, and she picked up a lot on the job as she saw and she heard. So they heard the Amsa de Rebbe, the Ka'amra Lahul Rabbanah. She saw the Talmidim coming back into the Smedish before lunch, after lunch, before mincha, after mincha, whatever. Now the Ivy paski the Bay Rebbe, that they were going in groups, 2 at a time, 5 at a time, 12 at a time. In other words, they didn't come en masse, but in groups they came into the Besmedish, and she would call out to them, and Mosei Atem Nichnosit Sirugin Sirugin. Why are you coming in piecemeal? Why does everybody come at the same time? So then they learned that Sirugin means this paski with breaks in between. We have Yadir Rabbanan my Chaluglugois. People didn't know what chaluglugais. The word chaluglugais appears a number of times, especially in Zeroyim, because it relates to different foods that one eats or that one grows. So they didn't know what this chaluglugais is. Shame le amsa de rabbi di amra le lehu gavra. They heard the same amsa saying to someone that become a vader parpachini. He was spreading out parpachini, a form of seeds. He was spreading them out in the ground, presumably to. For them to grow and to sprout. He said, how long are you going to be busy with this chaluglugais? So then they knew, oh, chaluglugais, this is parpachini. You're wondering, what's parpachini? Says Rashi, this is the famous firkakli, belaz. In French, it's called firkakli. So, I looked it up in the article, he just transliterates. He says, parpachini and chaluglugais.
Chaluglugais says purslane.
Porcelain, porcelain, but not porcelain.
Not porcelain.
Oh, right.
But
it's used in salads.
It's like an aloe. I thought aloe you put into soap. I didn't know that you put into salads.
You could
drink aloe too. Don't have little aloe drinks now.
Uh-huh. Okay, the shkoyer. Does it have?
It's allowed.
Is it?
It's allowed.
It's allowed. Okay. Is it allowed? Aloe. I got you. Now the question is it does it make the salad sweeter? Does it make it more bitter or more sharp?
Enough, you mean that?
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't alter the taste too much.
Who is this speaking?
This is Reb Shlomo Shef.
Oh, Shlomo. Yeah, he's the one who told us what rocket was.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We always thought it was that guy from Korea. I'm sorry.
Has a very healthy properties. Personally.
Healthy properties. Okay. Good. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
If I went to the store, I'd ask for porcelain.
Can you go to a regular store, a health food store, a salad store, and ask for purslane? Will they know what you're talking about?
Or should I tell them how to...
You've got to get it from the field. They put it in salad mixes, usually.
It's in salad mixes.
Okay. If I call them
Okay.
They maybe wouldn't know, but maybe purslane they would know.
It could be. Could be. So let's go on.
They would know it. I don't know if you find it in the store so readily.
Yeah. I have not recently, but I haven't been looking for it recently. But thank you for sharing all of that very, very fine information with us.
This might help the caterers now. They've come with new word now. They're going to have a new and they short money for them. The porcelain salad.
Oh, beautiful. And they charge more. They didn't know it means salsala usroi memeka. They didn't understand the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk is referring to, as we'll see in a moment, a person when he learns Torah, he shouldn't just learn it Oibaflechlech means superficially. But salsal, you should delve into it. And hafochba, the kulaba, you should ask what's the Morris Havman and what's the Morris Teres, being mafalpal back and forth. But they didn't understand what salsal means. Shemula Hamza the Rabbi, the Hava Umra, Lahu Gavra, the Hava Mahapach, the Mazia. She saw someone that had a beautiful chup that was going and combing it and brushing it 85 times to this direction, that direction, this, and it should really look beautiful. Amrele, so she said to him, "And Masi Atim Salzu Basarecha. How long are you going to go and turn over your hair and keep on brushing and combing?" So that's the same thing over here. You turn over Lahavdul, the learning of the Torah, up and down, back and forth, to understand what the Havamin, what the Maskana, what the Gemara is saying, etc. So then they understood what Salzu means.
Over and over again.
Exactly, over and over again. Lehavi Adarabon on my Hashlech Alashem Yehavcha. You can go and throw onto Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yehavcha means your burden, your peckle. So they didn't know what does that peckle mean. Rabbi Bechana, Zim Nechoda Hava Zim Lebahad Yehahu Taya. Rabbi Bechana says, one time I was walking and I was traveling together with a Taya. Taya means an Arab merchant. The Kadorina Tuna. And I was carrying a ton or a burden, something which was very heavy. But Amali, and this Arab turned to me and he said, Shkol Yehavich Vishod Agamlo. You know what? I'll do your toiva. You look, Nebuch, you're perspiring and Nebuch, you're sweating. Give me your Yehavcha and put it on the back of my gomel, on the back of my camel. So you see that Yehavcha means a burden, means a peckle. We have Yerban and my Vitatasiya Bimatate Hashmei. This is referring to Rachmon al-Islam, Hashishalim, at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Then the enemies are going to sweep up the streets of Yerushalayim and the Har HaBayis with a broom of hashmed of destruction. So they didn't understand what this tatasiya mitutate. Shemul Amzik Beirabi to have Omra l'chaveta. That day there were two ozrot. One ozeret said to the other one, Shkul tatasiya, please take the broom, the tati base, and sweep up the house. So now they understood. Tatasiya b'matei hashmed means nebuch the broom of destruction that sweeps everything away. Anyway, how do we get into all of this? Because it says in the Mishnah, Seirugin, you are Yotze. Tanur Rabbanan Kara, Seirugin, you Yotze. But Seirusin, lo Yotze. Now what is...
It's like the Mate we're reading about this week. Like the Raz, Mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the Metafsia. Oh, very nice.
Same root.
Oh, beautiful. Shkoyach. Thank you very much. So getting back to our Gemara, so it says Seirusin, lo Yotze. What does Seirusin mean? Says Rashi, Limafreya. That we had already had at the beginning of the Perek. In fact, the first few words of the Mishnah were Hakoyim Megil Mafreya. You have it on the top of the Yom. Hakoyim Mafreya. Loyotzes Sirusa means Lamafreya. Now we have Remuna, and the Gemara is going to focus on Remuna now for the next 20 lines or so. So remember, Remuna Oimem Mishum Reb Yehuda Av B'Sirugin Imshah Kedei Ligmores Kula Choyzel Rosh. Even though we said that you can take breaks in the middle of the Megillah laning, just like Sirugin means paski, take a pause after the first parak, second parak, but don't have a long pause. If it's for a minute or two, 5 minutes, that's okay. But if it's so long, they ligmar eskula to finish off the entire Megillah laning, Choyzel Rosh, you got to start from the beginning because you are not yoitz. We talk about this from Muna, not like our Mishnah. Short breaks are okay, long breaks no good. He asks a very, very simple technical question. What happens if let's assume the average Balkore takes a half an hour to lay the whole Megillah? Okay, so if this person made a break between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of 31 minutes, so that's Kedei Ligmor Es Kula, you'd have to start again from the beginning. But what happens if the person is already up to Perek Tes or Perek Yud, all the very, very, very end, and to finish off the rest of the Megillah only takes another 5 minutes? And what did he do? And he took now a break for 10 minutes. What would Ramuna say under those circumstances? It's Kedei Ligmor Es Kula. In 5 minutes, he could have finished the whole thing. By taking this 10-minute break, maybe you have to start from the beginning. Or no, do you say that we're talking about Mereshul HaSefer, from the beginning of the Megillah to the end of the Megillah, 10 minutes is goodish. It's a half an hour reading. Amalei Mereshul HaSefer, probably what Ramuna, when he said in the name of Yehuda, that Imshok, Kedei Ligmor Es Kula, Chayz L'Roi, she's probably talking about measuring from beginning to end. So we're not talking about from where he's holding till the end, but from beginning to end, whatever that period of time is, if it's a half an hour, if he went and took such a break, then he has to start again from the beginning. The Im Ken, you know why I say that? Because otherwise, Nasata Rech V'Shi'urin, you have to go and give a clear-cut shiur. If you're going to go and say, well, it all depends where you're holding in the Megillah. No, so then if you're holding after the first parak, it'll only take you 25 minutes. And after the second parak, it's going to be 23 minutes. And after the third parak, it's 18 minutes. And that's going to be already very complicated. And the Chum always try to give across the board, loy plug, one shiur for everything.
So,
yes.
I think it's,
yes, sir.
The Arachayim,
yes.
I seem to remember, said that if you're halfway through, you can take a long break.
Well, I don't know what you're referring to, but if that's what it says, that's what it says.
I remember it. It was so strange.
Okay. But what it says in our Gemara is Lamaisa, that the break that passes the Kriya that you have to start again is only such a break that you could lay from beginning to end. Yes, Reb Simcha.
So we're saying we have uniformity, right?
Yes.
But isn't it subjective also?
That's a good question.
What about Kari takes 21 minutes? It takes 40 minutes.
It's very good. And that, for that, you'd have to follow up on Shelley and look up Aruch Chaim, look in Shulchan Aruch, whether this is a subjective test or it's an objective test. Do you look at this particular Baal Kore? Because some Baal Kriya can go through the whole Megillah in 20 minutes or 18 minutes, right, the record. And some Baal Kriya takes them 45 minutes. So it's a good question. Our Gemara doesn't address that question. Omrav Abba, Omrav Yerimei Bar Abba, Omrav Halacha Kremuna, we pass on like Kremuna. The Kremuna says, if Shoha Kedei Ligmar Es Kula, no good. You're not yet, so you got to start again. Shmuel Omrav, Ein Halacha Kremuna. So Shmuel holds like our Mishnah, as long as you lay in the whole Megillah, even if it takes the whole day, makes no difference, you are yet. So Rav is being Machmir, Shmuel is being Mekel. Besura Masnahachi. In Surah, that's the way they had the Girsa of Rav and Shmuel. The Pabadisa Masnahachi. In Pabadisa, they said very similarly. Omer of Kahana, Omer Rav, Aloha Kirmuna. That's like the first version in Surah. Ushmuel Omer, Ein Aloha Kirmuna. So what's the difference between what we learned in Surah or Pabadisa? The only textual difference that we see in the Gemara is that in Surah, they said, Omer of Abba, Omer of Yirmiya Bar Abba, Omer Rav. While in Pabadisa they simply said Omarav Kahana Omarav, but otherwise they are indistinguishable. Unless in Pabadisa they added the next piece as well. What does it say in the Gemara Baita? Rav Bibi Masni Ipcha. Rav Bibi took the shitois of Rav and Shmuel and he reversed them and said Rav Omar Ein Halacha Kiramuna, Ushmuel Omar Halacha Kiramuna. Okay, so that's different than what they said in Surah, and that's different even in the first version that we just brought from Pabadisa, and therefore Rav is the one that's the Mekel, and Shmuel is the one that's the Machmir. Shmuel is saying, yeah, the Mishnah says Sirugin is kosher, but make sure it's not a big break. If it's a big break, you destroy the whole thing, and you got to start from the beginning. Omer of Yosef, the Koit de Rabibi Biyadcha, follow Rabibi, who said that Rav is the Mekel, Shmuel is the Machmir, the Shmuel hu dechayish lechida, because we find in other circumstances that Shmuel also favors, like we would say in English, the underdog, but here we're not talking about the underdog, we're talking about the Yochid b'mokim Rabbim. Normally, Yochid v'ram alocha kiravim, but we see in other instances that Shmuel is choshish to the das Yochid, and here too, is choshish to the das of Remuna. Make sure that it's not too long of a pause. Where do we find that Shmuel is chayish liyichidim? De nan shmeres yavim shekidesh achim es achoyso. Mishim rebiudim b'seira amru oimim loy hamtin achiyas ochicha godol maisem. We have a bunch of brothers. One of the brothers was married to a young lady, and unfortunately, Rachman al-Islan, that brother never passed away without any children. As a result, his wife now falls liyibum or lachalitza to all of the other brothers. We know that. As far as all of those brothers, even if they're 5 or 10 brothers, that woman is attached to them with what the Gemara in Yevamos calls a zika. Zika means that this, like a very, very thin umbilical cord that attaches her to all of them, until one of the brothers, we always start with a bechor, but until whichever one of the brothers either is miyabe, or is chalitza, and then they're all free to do whatever they want. Fine. What happens over here? One of the brothers was a little bit, if you will, trigger happy, and he went and was mekadesh, the sister of the zika that fell to him. It's what the Gemara in Yevamos calls achois zikukasai. He married the sister of his zika. But he was not married in the form of nisuin, it was just kidesh, just in the form of erusin. Yes, today, of course, we do erusin nisuin sequentially, contemporaneously under the chuppah, but that wasn't the case in the case of the Mishnah. He only did erusin and nothing more. So Yehuda ben Maseder said, Oimrim lai, we tell this young man, we give him advice, Hamtein, do a favor, don't go and marry her fully, don't make nisuin, until your older brother does a maisa vis-a-vis the Yevama. Either the older brother will go and marry her, or in other words, do yivam, or he'll do chalitza, and after that the zika goes away. But in the meantime, she's a chayzikukasai. So you did kiddush and you gave her a ring. Whether that was right or wrong, it really is irrelevant. But you haven't done any mice. In other words, no mice beer. So therefore, we tell him, stay away, don't do mice beer, don't do nisuin until the status of the Yavama has been rectified and cleared and taken care of. And says Yavara, Masa. Well, Shmuel, halakim yudu ben Beseira. So just like we see that Shmuel over there is choshesh to the Das Yochid of Reb Yudu ben Beseira, here too is choshesh to the Das Yochid of Reb Muna. That's why we prefer Rabbi's reading that Shmuel is the Machmir and not Rav's reading that Rav is the Machmir. Not Rav, but the other Madiyam Surim Pumbisim. Talk more about the Tanabash. Sorry, somebody has a question?
What's the problem with
the Achoy Zikukosai is an erva. I don't remember whether it's an erva d'araisa or an erva d'rabanan, but you're not allowed to go marry, just like Min HaToyda, you're not allowed to go and marry Achoy Zishtai, a person allowed to marry two sisters. Every Yavam is considered to be Ashtikala married to the Yavama until you have either a Yivam or a Chalitza. So therefore, when he marries now a second sister, it's as if he's marrying two sisters. Two sisters. Here, our Gemara, I believe it's the Rabbanan, Achoisukukosa is also us. Now we're going to talk about the physical writing of the Megillah. Hishmet Basrifer Oisiyas Ipsukim, the Koran HaKoyrek Yimetugimon, HaMetargim Yotza. What the Gemara is telling us is, even though the Megillah that you should be using should be absolutely perfect, what happens if the Soifer didn't do such a great job, and he left out a couple of letters or even Psukim? The Koran HaKoyrek and the Balkore, who knew his Megillah so well, he was able to go and read it out loud. There's a little bit of background noise, so everybody please mute yourselves because there's some noise there. And especially in the middle of the Megillah reading, it would be very, very distracting. So please, everybody, put yourselves on mute. Back to the Gemara. So Yishmat Basoifa, the Soifa left out some oisis or psukim b'kor na'koyre, kim meturgman ha-metargim. He read it like the metargim, meaning, as you know, in the good old days, you had, after the Balkore read one or two psukim, there would be a matargim that would translate the psukim into the local language, like in Aramaic. But he didn't read it from a Sefer or a Sefer Torah or anything. He just did a Balpeh based on what he heard now from the Balkore. So here too, the Balkore read the oisis or the psukim Balpeh as if he was the matargim filling in the blanks and saying it Balpeh. Yotz, you're okay. So even though it's in our mission that you created Balpeh, you're not yotz, that's talking about the Skansen Megillah. Here we're talking about a couple of words, a couple of letters, a pasuk or two that you got. Meisrei, I have another brayser. Ho yibo oisias mitush toshes. If in the Megillah you found that there were oisias that were mitush, tush means that they were all geshmeared, that they were not written normally, that are attached to each other, or they're slightly erased or obliterated. They're torn. If you can still, Brother Shai, have a wonderful day. If you can still make out what the letter is, even though it's faded or it's somehow it's torn, but you can make it out, otherwise it's psula. What do you mean? We just said in the previous price that even if it's missing letters, it's kosher. So certainly if the letters are there, even if it's not Rishum HaNikar, why are you saying it's Tafka if it's Rishum HaNikar, it's kosher? So Gemara like kasha. Abakula miktas. It depends how much we're talking about. Although the Gemara says Ruba, presumably it's Ruba Kekulai, like we usually say. So if it happens to be a few letters here and there, you miss a pasuk here and you miss a word over there, it's kosher. But if Roiva the Gila is Metushtashis, Mikurais, that's a really different story. Then it's only the Shuman Nikar, it's kosher. But if not, it's fas. Turnabah, Hishmet Bohakoidi Pasuk Ech. What happens if the Balkore left out a pasuk? And he left it out, it was written. Normal kosher Megillah, the Balkori read, and somehow or other he missed a pasuk. And then he read another pasuk after that, and then everybody said, you left out a pasuk. He shouldn't say, oh, I'll get back to it at the end. Oh, don't worry, I'll get back to it. No. He has to go back to that pasuk. Otherwise, you have a lemafreya problem. You have to say it in order. You can't go and jump from pasuk to pasuk and go back. No. If you left out a pasuk, start back from that pasuk that you left and continue on straight to the rest of the Megillah. Nichlas al beisaknesis and what's a tzibur shekorei chatzia. Oy, this is a big problem. Sometimes you have, especially for the ladies, that they're coming in for kriyas Megillah, and the balkori already started. And the brayse talks about that he read chatzia. Doesn't have to be chatzia. He read one pasuk, a two psukim. Lo yoyma, the person that came in now late shouldn't say ekra chatzia matzibur. I'll listen to the balkori from where I'm standing. V'yachach ekra chatzia, and then at the end I'll make up for those psukim that I missed. No. The Kariyos Mitchilos about Seifa. You have to. I'm sorry?
It's possible.
No question. Well, the Bryce is trying to graphically explain what the ramifications are. We're not only talking about an absent minded type of Balkore who likes to play games and to read Perek Beis before Perek Aleph, even if he is a Tzaddik Fanayid, and the person that came in is that Tzaddik. And they said, don't worry. The Balkori has already started, but I'll make it up shortly. No. You got to go in from the beginning till the end. This happens with some frequency. Back to our Mishnah. Misnamnim, if the Balkori was dozing, your Otsi Yaitzer. Can you describe to me what's the length and the breadth? How do you define nimnum, dozing? Rabashi, nimle, nim, tirvelaitir. He's sleeping, not sleeping, he's up, but he's not up. In other words, he's stirring. The Korulev Ani, if you call his name, Yanko, he answers, yeah. But if you start asking him, tell me, why does the Mishnah tell us that Tzirugin is Yotze and Tzirusin is Lo Yotze? And why does Ramamuna start arguing? He doesn't know how to answer it. However, in the middle of his sleep, if you tell him, don't you remember we learned Ramuna this morning in the world? So he will remember something. But if you're going to ask him to go and give a svar and try to give a logical explanation, there he can't because he is half asleep. Talking about in now koisa means we have a sofer that's in the middle of writing the Megillah, and whilst he's writing it, he's writing the words he says it out loud. Says the Mishnah, if he's kibbutz liba, he wants to be yoitz a kriyas and Megillah, he's yoitz. If he's writing out each pasuk, he's doing a great job. He's written out the first pasuk, and now he reads the whole. Perfect job. The problem is that's the only pasuk in this Megillah. The rest of the Megillah is empty. He's going to write another pasuk, and another pasuk, another pasuk. But each time he reads the psukim, until he gets to the final pasuk, the Megillah is still 99% not there. So it's about that. El is the gospel psuka vikari lay. It's talking about that he already. So I explained the first Gemara incorrectly. The first Gemara, the Gemara until now was talking about kimasad psuka psuka because of law means that he read the pasuk out loud, And after reading the writing of the Pasuk out loud, then he wrote it down in the Megillah. So break the Gemara, so then it's about that. Now it's because of Pesukah Pesukah. First, he wrote the Pasuk and then he read it. Break the Gemara, but still a Miyotze. He's still not Yotze. Vom Reb Chalbi, Amar Reb Chom, Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Alok, and Dibri, Omer, Kula. But Philo Mandiyam, the Ish Yehudi, Shechashtek Suva Kula. As we'll see, Mechim later in the Masech, there's going to be a Machloikis. How much of the Megillah do you have to lay to be Yotze? We, of course, our minig is like the first Mandi Amar, that you have to learn from Vayihi until the final word of the Megillah. However, there's another Mandi Amar that says you only have to read from Ish Yehudi, because that's the real McCoy, that's the real essence of the Megillah from Mordechai. You don't have to start away from the beginning. But even according to that Mandi Amar, but it's Ish Yehudi Suva Kula, you cannot have an incomplete Megillah which begins from Ish Yehudi, it's got to start from Vayihi B'Me'ach HaShveresh. And this person over here, you're telling me he wrote a whole pasuk, Yimechashvesh, and then he reads it, Mazel Tov, he read it. But he doesn't have the whole thing, Kesuva, Kula, Lafana. It's only the one pasuk. So you might have, Mancha, Megillah, Kamei, the Korila, Mina, Psuka, Psuka, the Kotzev, La. This person is not writing the Megillah from memory, but rather he has a pre-existing Megillah that
he's copying.
Exactly, he's copying it, but not in, with a copy machine, but rather he is now writing on a new cloth from the words from the Megillah. And what he does is, he first reads and then he writes in the Megillah the new Megillah, he writes the Megillah. So since he reads it from a completed Megillah, if Kivin Leboy is Yotza, Rabbi Chanan, you're not allowed to write the Megillah, and for that matter a Sefer Torah, unless you're looking into a pre-existing Megillah or Sefer Torah. You can't go and do Malpet. It's gotta be Menaksav. So that's the Pshat in our Mishnah, that he wrote it Menaksav and Kibbutz Leva is Yotzah. So I have a Raya to this Halacha. But you have no Raya. Don't with this Rami Le'Yisra Muye. Pemesin, you don't. If you have a Balkore that knows, or a Sofer that knows Kola Tere Kula Balpet, you don't have to look at Menaksav. It's only in a situation of our Mishnah where the person decided, you know what, I want to be in the safe. I want to be safe. I'm going to read it word for word, Menaksav, and then I'm going to write it. So it's not that there is a chiyuv that you have to do that, but it's a good thing, and if you did it, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, and kivin li b'yotzeh. But it's not, you have no raya that there is an absolute obligation to write it Menaksav. Goof, Amr b'chana, Amr b'yotchana, osu lichta v'yisach, eshlein Menaksav. You gotta go and write it by copying from a pre-existing Megillah. Asya was one of the 10 stations that the Sanhedrin went into Golas. We learned this at the end of the Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, as you'll recall. And since the Sanhedrin went to the place called Asya, that was the place that they were going to be Ma'abra the Shana, meaning to decide whether we add another Adar Sheni. So Rav Meir went there for the discussions and for the, if you will, the deliberations. For Yoyishem Megillah, he got there, and it was other time, and there was no Megillah. So everybody said, what are we going to do? The Kosmo Leboy, and Rav Meir wrote the Megillah by heart from his own memory. The Kara, and afterwards he read it. There are other Gemaras that say that Rav Meir was a Lavler. A Lavler means he was a cipher. So he was such a brilliant cipher, he remembered the whole Megillah by heart, and he wrote it down. So what do I see from this? That you don't have to write it mitoy chaksav. You can even go and do it mi'liboy. As long as you know it, you can write it even without looking in. Rabbi Bo said, don't mean a rai from Rameir. Shani Rameir the Mekayim Bey. The Pasuk says about a person like Rameir, the afapecha yaishiru negdecha. Afapayim are the eyelids, like we say, usnuma me'afapos, that you say in the morning in the last bracha, before the virotze. And here he's saying is that even though the person has eyelids covering his eyes, yaishiru negdecha, he's able to go straight on the path without erring. He knows where he's going. Only Roman Bachoma, let it be Yermia, Midifti, my Bapapech Yeshin Ekdecha, what do you mean with this Pasuk about Rameir? Oh, Maloy, I'll tell you. This is referring to Eilat Divrei Torah. The Chzim Bahu, it says in Mishlei about Divrei Torah, Hasoyf, Einecha, Boy, Ve'enena. This Pasuk is telling us is, Rabbi, so you have to constantly learn and constantly review and constantly chazer. Because Hasoyf, Einecha, Boy, if you close your eyes to it, even for a short moment, Ve'enena, you forgot. How did I start off today's daf? I don't know. What was the daf all about? I remember. Sex is Megillah, I remember. It was Talmud Bavli. What daf was it? Can't recall. But you just close your eyes and then you forget. But I feel hockey but about Rameir. You sure remain it's Rameir. Rameir, it was Yosher. It was clear cut, concrete, no questions whatsoever. He knew exactly. Kola Torah Kula, Balte, closing his eyes. Rav Chisda Ashkel Rav Chananu, the Havkos of Swarm Shlomo Ksav. He saw Rav Chananu the same thing. He was writing Sifrei Torah or Megillus without looking into Ksav. Omalei, Ru'uya Kola Torah Kula, Kosav Alticha. I know, Rav Chananu, you are a great giant. See, Rav Chisda is talking to him in a very respectful manner. I know you're a giant, I know you know everything about that. El Kachom Ruchachom, but the rabbi still said, Aslichtu B'Dai Sacher Shlomo Ksav. You should still be looking into the Ksav, even though you know Kola Torah Kula. It must be that he is like Reb Meir, that if he fulfills the pasuk Vafapecha Yashira Negdecha, he knows Kola Torah Kula Baal Peh, and nevertheless he says, but you should still look into the Ksav. I have Reb Meir Kosev, but you see that Reb Meir wrote a Megillah even though he didn't have a Ksav in front of him, and even though Afapecha Yashir Negdech he knew Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh, and Dvar Shasat Chakshani. What are you supposed to do? He was in Asia. He called up FedEx, and they were all closed for the next month. They were not going to go and transport any Megillus. What are you supposed to do? So you're going to go and lane it Baal Peh. You got to lane it Dvar Shasat. So what can you do? So you have no choice. So you combine the fact that Reb Meir was Afapech Yashir Negdecha, he was brilliant. You combine the fact that it was Shasat Chak, those are the circumstances that you can write it Shloim HaKsav, but otherwise, you should always write it Mitoy HaKsav. Abayi Sholeh Bei Rab Bar Chavu, Lemichtav Tzulam Mezuzah Shloim HaKsav. He allowed for the Bei Bar Chavu people, who are suffering, to go and write Tzulam Mezuzahs without looking into a Ksav whilst they're writing. So you mark him man, lachar ki haytana. The sign of Yirmi Oymi Shem Rabbeinu. Tefillin Mezuzah is chutav shloim ha'ksav. Ve'ein tzrichoy sirtut. Ve'ilchus ha'tefillin, ein tzrichoy sirtut. Mezuzah tzrichoy sirtut. Idi v'idi l'chutav shloim ha'ksav. My time in Migros Grisim. What the Gemara is telling us is, even though there are very few of us that know the whole Sefer Torah Baal Peh, or know the whole Megillah Baal Peh, but Tefillin Mezuzah is different, because after all, Mezuzah is just the two parashiyos of Kriya Shema, two out of three, and Tefillin has another couple of parashiyos, which many people say in the morning anyway after they put the Tefillin on. So these are Rogel, Migros Grisim, and these are familiar to people. Oh, familiarity is a different story. We're talking about a Sefer Torah Megillah, that's got to be B'Torah Chatzav. Tefillin Mezuzah doesn't have to be B'Torah Chatzav if you know it, because you are Rogel. And then the Braisa tells us another halacha legabi sirtut. Sirtut means having those lines underneath the ksav. The halacha is tefillin ain't tzrichas sirtut. Tefillin doesn't require it. Mezuzahs do require it. Either eating the chavos shloim ksav, you can go and do shloim ksav. My time migos grisim, because everybody knows it so well. Okay, we're finished with today's gemara, but I just want to point out to you a gevaldige gilyon hashas. Gilyon hashas is from the kibah here. In my gemara, it's here on the bottom right-hand column. Others may have it up on the top. Where the Rabbi Akiva Eiger talks about this from Meir, and he brings a medrash. Do you have the Kilyan HaShas?
He doesn't.
You see the second shikl. Shani Rabbi Meir. Ayin medrash rabba bereshis soif perik lamed vav shetirat. He asks the kasha, how is Rabbi Meir able to go and lane from the Megillah on Purim? After all, it was written Shalom and Aksav. Shetirat, Shishnei Megillus Kosav. Reb Meir wrote two Megillus. The first one gone as a Rishonah. The first one was Shalem and Aksav. He's not allowed to go and use that for Megillah. So he went and hid that in Sheamus. But he wrote the second Megillah based on the Ksav of the first Megillah. Which is very interesting. Yeah. It's Yofa Koyach HaBen Mi Koyach HaAf. What we're saying is, the derivative is strong. The first one was from his memory.
Right.
The second one was based on his memory.
Yeah, not,
but as long as it was Menachsav, says the medrash, that's okay. He's Makayim when it says
Menachsav. That's not Mashmil of the Gemara.
Sorry?
Not Mashmil of the Gemara.
That's why he's bringing it. If it would be Mashmil of the Gemara, it wouldn't be a
Chiddush.
He's saying that the medrash Tiretz gave another Tiretz. Then, in fact, the Meir wrote two Megillahs. The first Megillah he wrote from memory. So that he felt you could not use for Megillah writing. No problem. He wrote a second Megillah from the first Megillah. So the second one is now Minachsav. First one he put into Sheamus, and the second one they used for Kriya
Megillah.
So, one of two answers. Teretz, one second. Answer number one is that the Medrash disagrees with our Gemara, and this is the Oyje Shloim another Pshat. Or, what the Gemara is saying is, but even the second Megillah that's written from the first Megillah, that's based on memory, ultimately it's based on memory. So how can you use the second one if you can't use the first one? Why is the second one any better? But he wanted to be Mahmud to the nth degree. So he said, if I don't have another Megillah, at least I'll write my first one in memory, and now I'll be able to write the second one. Why is it any better? Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zizal Yibay.
Sure.
Thank you for joining. Hopefully you can join us tomorrow too. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zagovich.